Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
It is. Welcome to Armed American Radio Daily Defense Studios. I am Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom, as I have been doing for almost a decade over these airwaves here in the Armed American Radio Daily Defense Studio for the last 2.5-3 years, and the Armed American Radio Monster Cast show every weekend for now in our 9th year. Incredible. I know. It's crazy. 9 years running on that thing. 200 radio stations, roughly. More if you want to consider the FM, AM versions of the, you know, wow, it's just 177 digital cable. Just continues to grow, continues to explode. We've got more growth coming, particularly in the fall. Looking forward to it, making some more announcements. Utah, got some more coming out your way. Your neck of the woods, got to love that. Got some FM translators picking up the show as AM stations add FM signals and everything else. Great to be here with you today. Yesterday's show with Charles Heller, always a lot of fun. Always learn a lot from Charles Heller. He's such a great guy, and I'm looking forward to going out to Arizona to speak Tucson this year at the end of October. You know, those guys, they know me. They know me well enough. I spoke out there, had an invitation last year, but couldn't make it, had other things that kept me from being out there last year. To travel, other places too close, back to back. I'd have had to land, come home, turn around, and leave, you know, 12 hours later, and I was just not able to make the trip. But the year before, only in Arizona can you wake up in Tombstone, Arizona. And I told the crowd at AZCDL at the lunch, only in this state, only in Arizona, can a man wake up in Tombstone, Arizona, pull his boots on, throw his Stetson hat on, which is exactly what I did, and mosey on up to Tucson to talk guns. Only there can you do that. Just a what an amazing place. But we talked ballot initiative yesterday, among other things, with Charles. The big deal I wanted to clarify with you today is ballot initiatives. I got a lot of email. What is exactly that initiative? Is my state? How do I find out? And then I got this one from Roger Morgan in Florida. Came in an hour ago. So I react to you, particularly when it matters, and I've got Lee, the gun writer, Williams, going to be joining me in just a second. I want to get this out because I want him to hear this. Quick note, sitting at work, Mark, the way you reacted to the Arizona legislature not being able to modify ballot initiatives implies you don't realize that's also true in Florida. I'm a little surprised considering you lived here so long. In Florida, the only ballot initiative is actually a constitutional amendment process. So all of these things, example high-speed rail that have been pushed through in the last decade or so, are directly incorporated into the state constitution. The high-speed rail thing was a perfect example. The only way to get rid of it is another amendment. I've been terrified Bloomberg could get some of this stupidity through and we'd never be able to get rid of it. Long time no talk. How's that 686 speed loader running? That's from Roger Morgan. Roger, the 686 speed loader is great, man. Love the Smith & Wesson 686 and the speed loader. I do appreciate it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Let me go back to your original comment. We have talked about the Florida being a ballot initiative state on the program before, and I apologize for not having the date. You'd have to go back and listen, but it has been discussed on more than one occasion under the following context, that Bloomberg wants Arizona picked off first, and I have warned those of you in Florida that he wants Florida second. Why? Because Arizona and Florida are widely seen as two, well, they're the Holy Grail, Arizona being the Holy Grail, Florida a quick second, Texas a quick third. All right. And these are prizes for Michael Bloomberg. But you're absolutely correct. But there's a difference in Arizona and Florida. And the reason I didn't talk about Florida yesterday was because I had Charles Heller on talking specifically about Arizona. I could have gone off in a tangent and talked about the other 25 states that have ballot initiatives. So let me go to Lee, the gun writer, Williams, and I'm going to do just that. And it may take us the rest of this segment and part of the other one, because I want to tell you in whatever state you happen to be in, I'm going to give you the states where ballot initiatives are a danger to you and explain to you why I don't like those initiatives. The gun writer, Lee Williams, Sarasota, Florida. How you doing?
Brother, how are you? It's great to be here.
Great to have you with me, as always. Regular contributor. Love it. Sarasota Herald Tribune. Nostalgic Herald Tribune. Now, no big deal. It is what it is. All right, Lee. Yesterday, I was talking with Charles Heller from, who you've met before, from Arizona Citizens Defense League. We all know that Bloomberg wants to pick off Arizona via ballot initiative. We saw what happened in Washington State. We saw what happened in Nevada. Now, it's unworkable. And because it's unworkable, Nevada can't do anything with it. So Bloomberg wasted a ton of money, and they probably won't be able to do anything with it. And that's a prime example, Lee, as to why I hate ballot initiatives, because the people do their work of the legislature by electing legislators to take care of that for them. Okay? Do you agree or disagree with the ballot initiative? You like them or don't like them?
I do not. I do not. I've seen it misused more than I've seen it used correctly or used for our team.
All right. There are 26 states. So let's go through this and spend some time here. It's very, very important stuff. There are 26 states, including as well as Washington, D.C., that offer initiatives or veto referendums. And there's a difference. I'll explain what those are. Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, of course, Colorado, Florida, Idaho, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, which is veto referendum only. I'll explain that in a moment. Massachusetts, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Mexico, veto only, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, South Dakota, Utah, Washington, Wyoming, and D.C. Let me explain something, Lee. Every single one of those states is in Bloomberg's crosshairs. Every single one of them. He's already worked it in Washington. It's passed. He passed it in Nevada with less than 1% of the vote. He's working on Arizona. Arizona has done some things in the legislative process to stave that off, and he wants Florida. And you know it.
Yeah. At least here we have somewhat of a higher bar. It can only be a constitutional amendment, as you pointed
correct.
Out. But the problem is, to get something on the ballot, you need 5% of the registered voters, which down here right now is around 700,000 people. And that's never an issue because they always usually turn in a million because a lot of these signatures are crap. They're bogus. Then once it gets on the ballot here, we need 60% to pass it. The last one we did was last year, medical marijuana passed by 71%. So it's
all right.
Doable here. Yeah.
It is doable there. And when it's phrased, and you've got somebody like Bloomberg that's coming in and spending tens of millions of dollars to, let's face it, to a lot of headline surfers, that's the way they phrase this stuff. These are highly paid people. Bloomberg doesn't go out and pay people $4 an hour. Okay? They can get commissions on signatures they get. They lie to people about what the petition is for. Now, you mentioned in Florida, it's 766,200 to be exact right now today. Now, that number fluctuates based with the population, of course. But 766,200. You don't have a statute initiative in Florida. Yours is constitutional, as you say. Arizona, on the other hand, does. And Arizona, for a they have both. Constitutional is 225,963 signatures. And for a statute, which would be, let's go in and get petitions to put blank on the ballot. Then once they get enough and it's been verified, the legislature adds it to the ballot by state law. Boom. If it's put in place, it can never be changed. And all they need for that is 150,642 signatures. It's that simple. Florida, at least you're right. You have a higher bar, Lee, at 760, and it's a constitutional amendment. But it also can't be changed if it passes.
No, and we, to further muddy the mix, we have a constitutional revision committee that meets every 20 years. It is meeting this year, and they can direct file, put something right on the ballot. So it's a little muddier there. They're usually not the problem. The problem is some of these amendments.
Okay. Let me start with this, and we'll go talk a little bit about it when we come back from the break and move on to some other things, because it's very, very important. If you live in one of those states, you are in Bloomberg's crosshairs right now. In fact, let me give you some information on what some of these states, which one's constitutional and which one is statute. States allowing initiated amendments out of that list: Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Florida, Illinois, Massachusetts, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, and South Dakota. 4, 8, 12, 16. You got 18 of those 26 states, that's including D.C., allow the constitutional initiated amendment. I don't want to spend time with you going through the procedures of each state. I'm running out of time now in this break. When I come back, I'm going to explain to you the difference between the Constitution and, you know, the constitutional amendment that we were just talking about, or a Constitution initiative, if you will, and a statute initiative, and explain what that means and what you need to be aware of in your state, because that's what Bloomberg is seeking to do. And you're not going to find out about it until it's too late, until they've already begun the process. He's already got committees and offices opened in, may very well be, your state now in preparation for 2018. We're going to continue to follow it, but I'll give it a little bit of explanation when we come back, and then we'll move on. Thanks. Be right back. You know, I talk about Chicago with you each and every day on the radio program, don't I? So I wish I could say I was shocked to hear the Chicago Tribune report that 56 people were wounded, 11 of them fatally, over a recent weekend in Chicago. But the reality is, we're living in dangerous times. Of the lives that were taken, one belonged to 10-year-old Gustavo, who was simply riding in a car with his dad when he was attacked. Can you believe that? An innocent kid. It reminded me of a story I heard recently about a USCCA member, David, whose own young sons were threatened by armed thugs during a trip to the barbershop. David was forced to defend his family with his firearm, killing one thug and wounding the other. The good news is, the USCCA was there to guide David through the devastating aftermath. I talk to you about it every day. Visit armedandresponsible.com to hear all the shocking details from David's story and see the live news footage that captured the very moment he was forced to shoot on tape. It's there. And while you're there, discover how you too can protect your family's future from the unthinkable. Just go to armedandresponsible.com, armedandresponsible.com. Visit the site today and learn how to protect your family. armedandresponsible.com.
If you had to use your firearm to protect your loved ones, would you know what to expect in the aftermath? Imagine being thrown into a cop car in front of your family. Could you have said something differently? I've had these fears, and the USCCA has alleviated them with the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. A free guide covering 6 big mistakes that could land you behind bars. For this free guide, visit BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win 1 of 4 guns. Just go to oneofourguns.com. That's the number 1of4guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
It is, and welcome back to the Armed American Radio Daily Defense Studios. This is very important information. I don't need to go over it. You know what state you're living in. If you hear your name on it, you need to be paying very, very careful attention to what I'm talking about. I'm also joined by Lee, the gun writer Williams, down at the Herald Tribune. Lee, how you doing, brother?
Excellent, man. This is such an important topic. Thank you for bringing this up.
It's huge. People don't understand how this process works, and it's absolutely vital that we explain this. I'm compelled to go into a little bit more detail than I would like to today, but I'll hold off on that. I just want to get people thinking. I want the cogs turning, the wheels spinning. All right? Constitutional only states I just mentioned. Statute. What first of all, what's the difference? What is the constitutional deal? An initiated constitutional amendment essentially is an amendment to your state constitution that comes about through the initiative process. The initiative process is the collection of signatures meeting a certain criteria, whichever your state demands that it meet. Yesterday we talked about Arizona. I'm not going to go through all the individual states, but whatever that state criteria is, if it's met, then it can do one of two things. It can either force the legislature to add it to the ballot in a direct initiative, or if the legislature doesn't, then it can be added through the ballot initiative in an indirect. So there's direct and indirect initiatives. I hope I'm explaining that properly. It's a little bit confusing, but the bottom line is your state allows you, if enough signatures are collected, to override the legislative process, basically. And while that's great if you agree with what the initiative is, it's also pretty darn crappy if you don't. Now, Lee, here's what I'm going to submit to you before we go into it any further, which we will. Here's why I don't like it. That's not the way we're meant to govern. That's why we have a legislative body. That's why we have two houses. If the law...
Then we have people that we can hold accountable and vote out of office if they're not representing our interests. This is a scary, scary, scary proposition to me. Always has been.
Well, let me explain why. Because you don't want Bloomberg coming down your state spending millions, swaying a bunch of dopes, and convincing a certain amount of people that this is good for the state on a whim.
And
then it can't be changed.
And they're always misidentified and missold, especially when they're gathering the signatures. It's like, do you support saving children? And everybody signs that. And even when they get on the ballot, they're so nebulous and so worded so bizarrely and poorly. It scares the hell out of me, frankly, Mark. I'll be honest.
Well, it ought to. And let's go into what's an initiative. What's a state statute through initiative? I just told you it could be initiative is direct or indirect, either direct to the ballot from the signatures or requiring, based on the signature count, the legislative body to put it on the ballot. And if they don't, you can override it and have it put on the ballot. An initiated state statute, or an initiated initiative statute, otherwise known, is a new law. Think about this. A new law adopted via the ballot initiative process, and that's what we saw happen in Washington State. I-594. Bloomberg comes in, gets enough signatures, enough yeses, boom, it is now state law. And it's a nightmare. It completely bypasses the legislative body that's been elected by the people to do the work of the people. And I'm sorry, while that might be good in some circumstances, the fact that it can be abused by somebody out of state who has no business in your state and doesn't live in your state makes it absolutely wrong. We don't do that on a federal level. We shouldn't be doing it on a state. I just disagree with the process in toto, Lee. Now, there are 26 states that allow some form of that, right?
Yeah. Well, and look at the result of 94. You and I go to the range. We're both shooting. I can't hand you my gun because you're interested in it. You want to fire it without a background check. It is ludicrous, and it's law for sale. Basically, like you nailed it, he comes in with his fat checkbook and wallet, and the next thing you know, it's one of the most, if not the most, anti-gun laws I've seen in quite a while.
Why do you think he's doing it? He's doing it because he knows he can sway the lowest common denominator, and they're out there. There are stupid people out there.
Yeah.
Who, quite frankly, shouldn't be pulling a lever. Let's be honest. You may know someone, okay? But the fact of the matter is that lowest common denominator is what they need, and in some states they find 150,000 of them, and bam, you've got out-of-state money buying your process and putting a law on your books that essentially screws you out of a constitutional right or infringes on your constitutional right in ways that you can never change. That you can never change. If you are one of these states, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Florida, Idaho, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Mass, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, New Mexico, Nevada, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, South Dakota, Utah, Washington, Wyoming, you better be paying very, very careful attention, because every single one of you are in Michael Bloomberg's crosshairs, particularly Arizona and Florida. And believe me, with a slight demographic shift in Florida, which is happening as more Northeasterners are welcomed in there and they bring their blue state politics out of Massachusetts and New York down to Florida with them and change residency from a tax standpoint, even though they might not live there half the year, they're going to change your constitution. It's a problem. It's a real problem.
I would disagree that they're all welcomed.
Yeah, well, you know, money talks, doesn't it? You know what they say, money talks, blank walks. It's pretty much that simple. But this is extremely, extremely important stuff. And, really, the language and the way these things are written have to be understood. We'll be going over this as we get closer and closer to 2018. And as I start to get information in, from local state organizations that are telling us what we're looking at from Bloomberg and what the boots he's got on the ground. Let me make this very clear to you, folks. I don't care how powerful your states' rights organization are or states' rights organization is, you can't compete with Bloomberg's wallet. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's that simple. The NRA can't compete with Bloomberg's wallet. Bloomberg could buy them 50 times over. It's that simple, and it's frightening, and you had better be paying attention to it. Hey, Lee, you have a piece up on your website. I'll set this up before we go to a break, and I want to go there because I got an email today. But you have a piece, taking away Grandpa's gun, right?
Yeah.
Let me read you an email. Oh, difficult to write, difficult to talk about, but something that we have to talk about. And it, you know, I spoke about it with Pincus the other day too, and surprisingly, I haven't gotten a whole lot of negative email about it yet. But I'm going to read an email, and I'm just going to say it's when we come back from the break. I'll just call it anonymous. I have heard from the emailer before, but he put it right smack in context. So when we come back, Lee, I want to read the email, and then I want to get your opinion based on what you wrote and your thoughts on this, because it is something that, unfortunately, a lot of us are going to have to face, either as an individual being put in the position to have our guns taken away someday. Let's face it, none of us get out of this alive. Or at this stage of your life, maybe in a position to have to consider doing that to someone that you love very much. When we come back, I'll read you an email that's going to make you think, and we'll talk about it with Lee, the gun writer, Williams. Don't go away.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine. Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions, because believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the Daily Defense Studios. I'm going to read an email here. It can be a provocative topic. And you get a lot of gun owners that, oh, no, you know, you hear all the saber rattling and everything going on. But it's a topic that has to be discussed. I have no problem talking about it whatsoever, and I have no problem talking about it with anybody that wants to engage over the topic, because sometimes real life overrides your politics or whatever the case may be. Sometimes you have to make decisions in real life. And here's a statement I'll make. Not everybody should have a firearm. That's a broad brush. Lee, you would agree with that, right? Broadly speaking?
Completely.
Okay. For lots of different reasons. In this particular case, let me read this email. That was Lee, the gun writer Williams, by the way, who's with me for the hour from the Sarasota Herald Tribune down in beautiful Sarasota, Florida. Mark, as usual, I'm a day or two behind, so I'm listening to your 8-7 show with Rob Pincus. As you were talking about removing the guns from a loved one's home, it brought up a sad memory that I wanted to share. When I was in my early teens, my grandmother passed. My grandparents had been together for over 40 years, and my grandfather took it very hard. He became very depressed, and my mom and I knew he needed help. He refused to give up his guns, so one day we searched his house and took them. A few days later, when we visited, he was crying because in his grief, we took away his way out. At that point, we knew his needs were beyond our ability, so we took him for help. Taking the strongest man I ever knew, crying to a hospital, is still a sad and painful memory, but I know we saved his life that night. After treatment, he lived for a few more years before being diagnosed with cancer. He refused treatment and eventually joined my grandmother. Maybe this will help if you know anyone who needs it. Just please withhold my name. I've written in several times in the past, but this is personal enough. I would prefer my name not be mentioned. Thanks. So we won't mention the letter writer's name. And, Lee, I'm going to throw that over to you.
Well, I'm a firm believer in, when we did this story, I too got calls and emails about it. So I did the story, I researched it, spoke to some experts. The best thing to do is pre-plan for these type of situations. You do the same thing with your car keys. You have a driving retirement plan. You have a firearm retirement plan. If you're getting diagnosed or if something's medical is cropping up, obviously plan it out. That's what the benefits of a gun trust. You can specify exactly who gets what. Now, if it's exigent circumstances and somebody's thinking self-harm, obviously you got to get rid of them right now. But based on what the experts told me, the best way to do it is if you're taking something away that the person enjoys, like trap shooting or target shooting or tactical shooting, as a hobby, you have to replace that with something else. That'll at least soften the blow. But the big key, like I said, is pre-planning. That's a must. Talk to them about it. Get a good gun trust. Then there's no hassle. There's no fuss, no muss. I hate the fact that they had to go in and take them all overnight, but it sounds like they did absolutely the right thing because the guy had some thoughts on self-harm. So I certainly can't fault them. If they didn't, I mean, look at the obvious, what the outcome could have been.
All right, a couple things that I take away. Number one, I make it very, very clear. This is the way it's supposed to work, ladies and gentlemen. This is exactly what you heard from the letter writer is exactly the way it is supposed to work. That's what families do. That's what families do. You know, some people do it voluntarily. Right, there are some people, an example came up the other day, you know, I'm getting older, I'm not playing near as much golf as I used to, somebody told me the other day. You know, physical limitations get in the way after you get to a certain age. It's no longer feasible. So you find something else to do. Someone who likes to shoot, maybe sports shoot, whatever the case may be. Maybe it's not a sports shooter, Lee, maybe it's the guns are used for self-defense in the home. But when you've got someone who you know is in that situation, sure, I mean, that's what families do. Mothers, sons, brothers, fathers know these. We're not talking about courtrooms here, ladies and gentlemen. Let me distinguish this. We're not, see, the progressive left would love to be able to have the government, because they can't take care of themselves. That's why they love big government. They don't trust themselves to do anything in their life. They want that government net there because they can't make the, they love the fact that someone can come in and make a decision for them. It makes them feel better about themselves, because they feel, they don't think. So that's where that safety net comes in. And again, that's a broad brush. There are some who aren't like that, but for the most part, that's what we see. And they would love the fact that the government could come in and take your guns. Go ahead, Lee.
This is about personal responsibility, taking responsibility for yourself and your parents. That's what it's all about. And again, yeah, this is not about the government doing it. This is about family looking after family. And that needs
right. We're not talking due process.
No.
Is that a violation of due process, Lee, with the letter writer that wrote me that said, look, it's taking care of his grandfather? That's not a violation of due process. That's family looking out for family.
Absolutely. Not at all. No, not a legal issue, not getting lawyers involved, looking
right
out for your loved ones.
Hey, Dad, you're drunk. Give me the keys, bro.
Yeah.
You're depressed. Dad, you're on that medication. You're back. I'm telling you, from your surgery, give me your keys. You're not driving home. We don't need the government to come in. We don't need to call the cops. And there are some cases, by the way, the cops can be called to save someone's life. That's a whole different ballgame. But what we're talking about is family looking out for family. We are not talking about a courtroom situation where you have these, whatever they call them, the expanded, protective orders, okay, the ERPOs or whatever we were talking about a couple weeks back, where your upset spouse can go to a court without you present and convince a judge that your gun should be taken away from you and the cops show up. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about son knowing his dad is depressed because mom passed away or any other circumstance. It's a difficult conversation, but I got to tell you, here's the takeaway from it. Love your deal. If you're a gun owner, you're starting to get up in years, the gun trust. Understand that you're not going to be able to handle your guns. I think it's wonderful. Tell us a little bit more about it, Lee.
Well, and yeah, it's not all about age either. It's about mental acuity. I mean, my father's 80-something, 83, and he can handle a gun safely to this day. Guy bikes, you know, thousands of miles every summer up there in northern Minnesota. It's about mental acuity. And the benefit of a gun trust, not only is it great for NFA weapons, Class 3, Title 2, whatever you want to call them, you can specify in a good trust exactly who gets what. And that's a beautiful document to have.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Even if you don't have machine guns and suppressors, get one. You need one. If you've got a good collection, get one. They're always coming down in price.
At some point in time, when you're my age and you're thinking clearly, I'm smart enough and responsible enough to know there's going to come a day I might not be able to handle one of these weapons. And maybe it's when I'm 89 years old. God bless, I live that long. Okay? Maybe I get sick and don't even realize that I can't. But while I'm responsible, just like you said, Lee, I don't think anyone on this program has ever said that before. We have retirement planning. We have whatever else planning. We have wedding planning. We do everything else. We plan for everything, but we don't ever plan for that.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting.
It's going to be more difficult for guys like you and me and a lot of the other folks out there who are concealed carry, because, you know, for us, it's more than just, it's a lifestyle, and that's going to be hell to give up, if God forbid we ever have to.
Yeah, and, you know, we're talking about a situation like the letter writer wrote in, something where where the family knows that the grandpa or the dad or whatever is extremely depressed, where this is a part of the issue, and we've experienced the loss of people. I've experienced personally, we talked about them before, and you know, you look back in hindsight and wonder if there were any signs. Well, a lot of times there aren't signs. And a lot of times we don't know these things. But in every circumstance is different. We can set up a gazillion hypotheticals all we want. But we're looking at the hypotheticals, you know, zeroing in on the look. We know there's a problem here. It's an admitted problem. My gosh, I'm depressed. I've lost. This is terrible. That's when it comes time for family to step in and act like family. And it might not work in every instance. But in the instances it does work, as the letter writer said, we know we saved his life. So I want to hear from you on it. Mark@armedamericanradio.org. It's a provocative topic, and it's one it's a conversation that needs to be had. Mark@armedamericanradio.org. Mark@armedamericanradio.org. Talk to you soon. We'll be right back with Lee the Gunwriter Williams. Don't go away.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneofourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeThereProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeThereProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
Got to hear this from NJToday.net. As soon as that music goes away. NJToday.net. Concealed carry killers caused over 1,000 deaths since 2007. Concealed carry killers caused over 1,000 deaths since 2007. Of course, this is a country of 320 plus million people. That's over a period of 10 years. There are 16 million concealed carry permit holders across the country and many millions others that don't require a permit. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, and this is a low number from the Bureau of Justice Statistics, that 180,000 lives are saved every single year by law-abiding citizens with guns. That number is 1,800,000 lives saved during that same 10 years. And some of those estimates climb as high as 2 million, let's just call it, over those 10 years. Add that zero, 20 million lives saved by law-abiding citizens with guns. And New Jersey wants to focus on the bad apples in the bunch, of which there will always be in a free society. Of course, New Jersey forgot to tell you how many doctors have been sued out of existence for wrongful deaths, far exceeding the 1,000 deaths from concealed carry killers. By the way, that number comes from the bogus Violence Policy Center. If that's all the best they've got, by the way, that number is statistically insignificant, considering how many of you lawfully carry a firearm. Those people are flat-out idiots. And I think that just proved it. Lee, did you want to put an exclamation on that point on that, or did I do okay?
Yeah, that's 100 a year. I'm thinking choking on vanilla wafers probably causes more deaths than that. And if you notice, the article is not signed. It's a staff report.
Yeah.
I all of it. So nobody was willing to put their name on that trash.
Well, NewJerseyToday.net was. Now, going to New Jersey, let me move you over here, Lee.
No,
that's okay. Let me take you over here to another email. This was titled Traveling with Firearms Question/Topic. Mark, the discussion on the show yesterday, this a few days ago, on-air Travel with Firearms was yesterday, was informative as usual. What if you're traveling from city A to B, both firearm-friendly, and you find yourself rerouted or diverted to a New York, Chicago, D.C., etc.? You are forced to get your bag and recheck it the next day. What would you do here? It might be easier to toss the $500 Glock in a trash can or several trash cans and walk away from a potential felony, jail time, fines, and legal fees. Are there any other options for getting the gun home? Well, first of all, I would submit to you, don't toss the gun away. That in and of itself would get you in a whole bunch of trouble as well. And I understand the sarcasm in what you were saying, but I just want to throw that out there. Lee, there was a subsequent follow-up to this just moments ago because I told the letter writer that I would, while it is rare, it has happened more than one time. We've heard it particularly out of New York and New Jersey airports. But because it's rare, it has happened, I want to address his email, so I told him I would address it on the air, and he followed up with this. Thanks, Mark. I'm a United frequent flyer, and my hub options are Newark, Chicago, San Fran, L.A., Denver, D.C., and Houston. With the exception of Houston, I could be blanked. Paul. Paul, you could be. You're going to have more of a problem in Newark, I think, Newark and D.C. than anywhere else. Remember, firearms are lawful in California. You can carry a firearm to California and back as long as the firearm is California compliant. Okay, I'm not going to recommend you do it, but yeah. Lee, you want to jump in here real quick before I start throwing an answer out? You want to comment?
Oh, yeah, that is a horrible situation to be in. Horrible. I would try prayer first off. And I completely agree. I would not get rid of the gun. Yeah, you don't want to do that. God, Mark, you travel with firearms a lot more than I do. I'm gonna throw this one back at you. I don't know what I would do other than call you and then call my attorney.
Well, you know, here's the deal. It's rare that it does happen that you get diverted and have to recheck your bag. That is rare. In most instances, your bag is long gone and shows up wherever it was 3 days later, whatever the case may be. If you're in New York, you're at a little bodega somewhere buying a toothbrush and some toothpaste. That's more frequent than this. But here's how I want to leave that. First of all, when I travel to a place, I will be traveling to Minnesota. My firearm permit is not good, believe it or not, in Minnesota in just a week and a half. So I'm not going to carry my firearm with me. Well, fortunately for me, I have lots of friends around me armed that will pick me up and shuttle me around, so I'm okay. That might not be the case. If I were traveling to Los Angeles, and I have, I'm not taking my firearm with me. If I'm going to any of those cities as a destination, obviously I'm not taking my gun with me. So what I want to do is leave it at this. Great question. Rarely happens, but I am going to reach out to some experts in those areas and get a little bit better answer for you. Because remember, under federal law, you're violating no law. You have a right to travel with your firearm. It's the states that are violating the law, not you. But a completely legitimate question, we'll try to find a little bit better answer for you. Lee, we have about 3 minutes. You've got some other stuff you want to talk about. You just kicked off your new podcast. Where can people find you? Go ahead and take the mic.
They can find us, everything we do, at thegunwriter.com. Thegunwriter.com. Yeah, we just kicked off a new podcast. We're gonna see how that shakes out. It's co-hosted with Bob Keller of Gamut Resolutions, who you've had on your show, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Bob is a legend in the special operations community. He's currently in special operations. It's bizarre, and I feel very fortunate that he was willing to co-host it, and it's all about shooting. We focus specifically on shooting, real-world shooting tactics and techniques, stuff that both of us have learned, him a lot more than me, that really work, and that's where we're keeping it. We're staying away from hot-button issues, focusing on shooting. We want to make shooters safer, more confident, more accurate, and better. And I think if you take some of the stuff that we're talking about and you practice it at home dry and at the range live, you're going to be a much better shooter. And that's what our goal is. And it's fun as hell, as you well know. We're not hindered by the FCC, so I can use 100% of my vocabulary as to the 40% of stuff that I'm talking to you.
40%? Come on, man. It's better than that. Give me a break. Although I have sat around with you, and I remember sitting out overlooking the beautiful Gulf of Mexico in the sugar sand beaches of Sarasota when I was checked in getting ready to do a show with you at the Herald Tribune offices the following day. When we got word, I got word immediately and showed you when I found out instantly that Scalia had passed, and I told you, that 40% of that vocabulary, we couldn't believe what we had just heard. But, you know, we go back a ways, and I love talking about these topics with you. That's the point that I'm trying to make here. So make sure to check out Lee, the Gunwriter Williams, at thegunwriter.com. You've got some great columns up here. I wish we had time to go into them. We've only got about 45 seconds left. But Sheriff versus Chief Judge, right to carry impasse argued before appellate court. Florida expedites 82,000 concealed weapons licenses.
Yeah, the sheriff versus the chief judge, that's going to have statewide consequences on whether or not you can carry firearms into buildings owned by the court, but not courtroom facilities.
What happens where Lee is happens where you are. And again, let me close out this hour. Lee, I'm going to say thanks to you right now. I want to go through these ballot initiative states and wake people up again one more time before we take off. Make sure to check out Lee, the Gunwriter Williams, at thegunwriter.com. Lee, thanks, brother, for being here. Those of you in ballot initiative states, you are Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Florida, Idaho, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Mass, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, New Mexico, Nevada, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, South Dakota, Utah, Washington, and Wyoming. You need to be paying very, very careful attention to what is happening in your state as 2018 draws near. Tomorrow I'm going to get up and do it all over again because I can, and they can't stop me, and I love it. Best part of my day. Until then, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never, ever, ever leave your cave without your club. Never find yourself in a gun-free zone. Mark at armedamericanradio.org if you want to interact. See you on the radio. Have a great day.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out irfnews.com. That's irfnews.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneofourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.